Well, good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. This is our Cup of Goodness program, and this happens to be a Sunday morning program, so we're sticking to the subject of the book of Ephesians. And we made it as far as Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 last Sunday. So let's pick it up again right away. Let's just get right into this thing. Now we start talking about something that's very difficult for all of us. It was even difficult for Paul. What we're talking about this morning, we will blend our messages right into the word walk, W-A-L-K. And that is our day-to-day affairs. The casualness of life, the workplace, the home place, the vacation place, the shopping place, anywhere we go as a Christian. So we start with chapter 4, verse 22. And we just got done reading about what it is to walk like a lost person. He says back in 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Then he goes on and he describes that vanity of their mind, having understanding darkened, so they have no clue what's going on, being alienated from the life of God, they have nothing to do with God, through their ignorance that is in them, so they're ignorant, and the rest of that verse says, because of the blindness of their heart. So it's pretty tough to get somebody who's a lost person to have any understanding that we have learned from a King James Bible. They're not interested in having anything to do with God. And it's not only just ignorance, but their heart is blind. And how do you get somebody's heart to see? That's the tough part when it comes to witnessing. So what have most people done? They've changed their local church to where it's fun and what the Bible calls feeding our flesh. Just makes it a fun thing. So if we can get people to have fun, if we can have favor with all these people, they will come and they will learn about God. No, it doesn't work that way. It's never worked that way. And it's still not going to work that way. Why? Because they have no understanding. They're being alienated from the life of God. Their heart is blind, which results in an ignorance. So this ignorance and this blinded heart isn't going to get them any closer to learning about the life of God, other than if he's a fun God and a blessing God who will give them all sorts of stuff because he loves them. And that's the false impression about the God that we have today, even in Christianity. Verse 19, who past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. And that's an animalistic, flesh, sexual, dirty behavior to work all uncleanness with greediness. So that's the life of a lost person. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2 describes it in even more detail. He says in verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And that's where a lost person is. They have no understanding. They're alienated from the life of God. Their heart is blind, resulting in ignorance, who being past feeling, they've given themselves over to their flesh and to their fleshy ways to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's what a lost person is. And that's a tough thing to tell somebody that's what they are. Why is that so tough? Their heart is blind. They're ignorant. They have no clue about God, nor do they want anything from God. And they've given themselves over to themselves, their flesh. But us, on the other hand, as Christians, verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. In other words, Christ didn't teach us that. It says in verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Have you heard him? Have you been taught by Christ? You have been taught by Christ if what you are reading and studying the teachings of the risen Christ, the one who came down to this earth, the one who went to the Jews with his Jewish gospel, he's the one that they killed, he's the one that he died, went to hell, rose again, came back for a little while, and then rose up, and he will come back someday. But we still can hear from that particular Christ the teachings of the risen Savior to Paul, who was to take those on to the Gentiles, Acts chapter 9, to start off that process. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, in verse 21, Then we go on to verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. What are we talking about here? That as a Christian, we should put off concerning the former conversation. Conversation is referring to life, not a discussing conversation, not a conversation of two people talking to each other. It's talking about your life. For example, Galatians 1:13 defines conversation. Paul says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." This is what he did in his conversation in time past in his life. As a result of these verses now, if we've been taught by Christ and we've heard him, again, through Paul's teachings, not through the Gospels, not through Peter, John, and James, and Hebrews, and Jude, none of those books, the Christ that we hear from, the Christ that we have learned, is the risen Savior. And he teaches us through Paul. And so, we get right into verse 22, that it says, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then in verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then we start to get into the things that people really don't want to hear. The fact that our Christian life should be different than our unchristian life beforehand, the days of our lost years. Our testimony on a day-to-day basis, our walk, should be a walk as a Christian. Not doing everything else everybody does. Should we do everything else everybody does? Can we do everything else everybody does? Well, let's just start looking into this now. This is my Sunday program, but we will also start looking into this on a just pretty much on a daily basis in the program, Cup of Goodness, Monday through Friday, 8:30. We will soon be starting to talk about the specific things that we could just do as a Christian, which would please God. Now, there were a number of years that when I was a Baptist pastor, and I had run across a lot of King James Bible people, a lot of families, King James Bible only, I always observed that most of them, their testimony wasn't anything new as a Christian. I was always surprised at that. And actually, in some cases, their testimonies were terrible. There were fights in the family. People's homes and yards were a mess. Oh, I could just go down the list. It was just always disappointing. But the excuse that I always heard was, well, we're a Christian now, so we don't have to live on this earth. We're already in heaven with God, so down here on earth, it doesn't really matter. That they were dressed horribly, their behavior was terrible, their homes were a mess, their yards were a mess. I mean, it's just stuff. And I accepted that. I figured, well, I guess that's true, I suppose. I'm a saved person now. I don't have to be down here on this earth. I don't have to live like everybody else. Then I read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 one day, verse 1. I read this verse that says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." And I remember looking at that thinking, now wait a minute here. This is from Paul, which I just recently learned when I read this, that he was the one that we were supposed to learn from. And it says, that as ye have received of us, well, who's us? Us is Paul, Barnabas, Timothy, you know, all these people that associated with Paul. And it says, how ye ought to walk and to please God. I just remember thinking, look at that. I should be able to walk and to please God. And if I want to learn how to walk and to please God, you have received of us, well, that's from Paul and his books. So I started to change my preaching. I said, you know, folks, we can learn to walk and to please God. And if we truly want to please God, which we don't if we're lost, you know, because he says our understanding is darkened, our heart is blind, we're ignorant, we're past feeling of giving ourselves into the walk of the flesh, you know, lasciviousness. So instead of trying to please us, ourselves, a true, grown-up, mature Christian we ought to be wanting to please God. Romans chapter 8 was also quick to tell me that I couldn't please God if I was in my flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, what does that mean? Well, verse 9 says this, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Okay, so I come to realize that because I'm not in my flesh as a Christian, well, you're walking every day, you're inside your body, you're there. Yes, but he's referring to the fact that if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. And you're in the flesh unless you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. If the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, you are no longer in the flesh. Well, then I learned about spiritual circumcision in Colossians chapter 2, which tells me that I was cut away from my flesh. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised, you know what that means, with a circumcision made without hands, which is spiritual operation, the circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Wow. I just started to realize that a saved person is no longer in the flesh. And there's people out there in this world who are not saved. They are in the flesh. But they act like Christians. They call themselves Christians. They talk like Christians. There are people out there in all the different denominations. So many of them have a real good walk, almost what we would call a holy walk. They believe what they believe. They've got high standards. They're modest. We've got abortion. We've got the Ten Commandment battles with people going on. We've got people that have standards in their schools, and they just, you know, there's a lot of good people out there. But according to what I've read from Paul, unless you put your faith in the risen Savior, you are still in your flesh. So when he says that we ought to walk and to please God, I guess there are many, many people out there who are walking trying to please God, and they're not pleasing God because they're still in their flesh. So what they are is they're dead in their sins. Not because they're bad person as such, just the things they do. No, it's the fact that they are dead in their sins and they're doing good things, but those good things are still corrupted by the sin that's in them, and that they are still attached to that old body, to that old nature. So if you want to walk and to please God, you've got to put your trust and faith in the risen Savior. That spiritual operation will take place, and guess what? Now you can start doing things that would please God. And yet, there are so many battles that we have. We battle ourselves. If we go to Romans chapter 7, let me show you the battle that Paul had. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. That's really good. I mean, you got to look at these next couple verses, read them slowly. In a King James Bible, you won't find it said any better. And once that settles in your brain and settles in your heart, it'll make total sense that the biggest battle we have to fight, if we want to walk and to please God, if, like he says in Ephesians chapter 4, to put off concerning the former conversation the old man, and be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and that we put on the new man, the battle that takes place is mostly the battle with ourselves. It's not the battle with your friends. It's not the battle with the pastors. It's not the battle with your job and all those things that are out there. It's the battle within yourself. Now, let's read through these verses. Let's read it slowly, and you will see that we are our own worst enemy. We'll do it again at verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil, which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. The battle that Paul had was himself. We are cut away from our flesh. But that flesh still exists, and in that flesh, sin dwelleth. So when people say to be a Christian, you got to quit sinning, that's not possible. So Christ took care of sin, right? Remember that we talked about that many times. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. We've learned by reading through Romans that we are free from sin. Not free from sinning, but free from sin. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Sin is not imputed when there is no law. For where no law is, there is no transgression. What did Christ do? He got rid of the law. So there is no law that makes us sinners now. Our soul is clean, and we will stay clean. We have the Spirit of God in us, and yet our flesh is still the flesh. But he cuts us away from that. So then our battle is, we want to do the right thing, but we still choose to follow our flesh. That's the sin that dwelleth in me. And Paul says, listen, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It's the sin that dwelleth in me that's doing these things. Then he goes on in verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Haven't you ever prayed, and then these crummy thoughts come into your mind? That evil is still present with us. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He delights in this stuff. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. That law of sin is still in us. It's still there. We're just cut away from it. Then he finishes with this, and this is so true. If Christians could realize this and be willing to admit to this, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He wanted out. Just get away from this. Do we want out? Do we want away from this world, or do we want out of this body of death? Because this body of death has still got sin dwelling in it. We should actually be more unhappy within ourselves, not of ourselves, but within ourselves, because of the battles we have to do the right thing, than the world that's out there. The world is out there, it's what it is. Then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He reminds us that we can't even thank God other than through Jesus Christ. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. We want to do the right thing, but we still battle our flesh every day. So going back to Ephesians chapter 2, this is not an easy thing to do. Put off concerning the former conversation, our former life, put it off and be renewed in the spirit of our mind. See, we have to start getting our brain into this thing and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now we become the workmanship of God. Before, what we were not born in the image of God. We were born in the fallen image of Adam. I wish people could realize that when they say, well, you know, we're God's children, we're born in the image of God. They forgot the fact that Adam and Eve destroyed that. Now we're in that fallen image. And as good as people can be out in this country, and Americans have some very, very good people, but unless they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they're not good enough to please God. And if you want to be good enough to please God, you need to learn from the risen Savior through Paul, because he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, furthermore then, we beseech you, and beseeching is how Paul just really emphasizes, he really wants you to get it. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. abound more and more? Well, that's going to have to be a different program. What does that mean when he says abound more and more? Well, it can't be bad. We know that much. So as we go back, and let's look at this word walk just for a few moments here. 2 Corinthians 5:7, he says, real quickly here, he just says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So this battle we have, we want to serve God with our mind, but we fight the flesh. So he says, we walk by faith, not by sight. So where does this faith come from? Where do we get this faith? Where do we hear about these things? Have you ever heard this verse? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Remember, we've talked about our faith in Christ gives us his faith from Jesus Christ. So if we walk by faith, not by sight, whose faith are we walking by? Well, let me show you. In Galatians, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I mean, we're inside our bodies, what he's talking about here. Not that we're still spiritually cut away, but we're still in our bodies. The life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, isn't that amazing? We would read that verse, for we walk by faith, not by sight, and we would say to ourselves, well, I just have to have some strong faith. I've got to make it. I've got to have the faith. Keep the faith, baby. Oprah Winfrey's always talking about we have to have faith. All these movie stars talk about our faith, etc., etc. But the faith that we walk by is his faith, not ours. Our faith can grow, but our faith can wane. Our faith can get stronger. Our faith can get weaker. We can come and go like a yo-yo. But his faith is a faith that we walk by. So if we're going to walk, we're going to walk by his faith. Now here's a couple more verses that talk about the walk. Just how important is this day-to-day conversation we have? He says, this I say then, in Galatians chapter 5, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Boy, you've got to stay spiritual. You've got to stay in the book. You've got to stay being that Christian. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're not just saved to be saved and not going to hell when we die. We are created in Christ Jesus now. We are created unto good works. He says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This has always been God's plan, to make us into the Christian, and to make us in the fact that what we do, we shall walk unto good works. That's what a Christian does. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. This I say therefore, these are all in Ephesians. He says in chapter 5, verse 8, coming up, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Then he says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly means to walk cautiously, with watchfulness every way, with attention to guard against surprise or danger. So he wants us to walk as children of light, but he wants us to walk circumspectly. If you read Paul's books, you will see that the ministers of righteousness, the pastors and the preachers of this world that don't preach and teach Paul, they're just out there deceiving and being deceived. And they're trying to take others with them. We'll talk about that in more detail at another program here. He says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. How do you increase in the knowledge of God? You have to read a King James Bible. No other books have the knowledge of God like a King James Bible. He says in Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. So we didn't get very far this morning in Ephesians chapter 4, did we? Well, we got far enough to realize that when he says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, that's what we should be doing. He says in Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That would be Jesus Christ. We need to study and learn and read and be renewed in our inner spirit by the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that's the risen Savior. He tells us to put off the old man, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And we also learned this morning that our daily battle is going to be with our flesh, more than anything else. And then we'll talk more about this next Sunday. And I'm going to start talking about this stuff during the week. Do we have a desire to please God? And if you do, what can you do to please God? Can you do the Beatitudes? Does that please God? Are those the things that we do that would please God? What about all these people out there that are just good people? They must be pleasing God. Not if they're not saved. But these are born-again Christians. Are they really? Have they put their faith in the risen Savior? Or are they being duped and deceived by their church's teachings, by their doctrines, by their pastors, by their other Bibles, as they call them, by their music? Come visit us at the Cup of Goodness every morning and hear what the King James Bible has to say about our conversation day to day. And we'll pick it up again on Monday.